It's one of my favorite things to do, actually, is pretend I don't know when somebody asks me what the sermon's going to be about today or the sermonette. I actually did show up to church once years ago for a sermonette that I didn't know that I was giving. So I think that's the best one that I ever gave. You ever listen to, this has nothing to do with the sermon, by the way, but it has to do with the special music. You ever listen to, you know, or kind of catch an old cartoon that you may have saw when you were a kid? You know, we really learned all about classical music with those old cartoons, Tom and Jerry and that sort of thing. I'm sure that song Mr. Fauché just played, I heard in my classic cartoons as a kid. It reminds me of somebody sneaking up, you know, and then running and then sneaking again. It just struck me as funny as I was listening to it. Let's talk about this story. It's called the Starfish Story. You may have heard it before. A man was walking along a deserted beach at sunset. As he walked, he could see a young boy in the distance. As he drew near her, he noticed the boy kept bending down, picking up something and throwing it into the water. Time and time again, he saw this. The little boy kept hurling things in the ocean. As he approached and got even closer, he was able to see what the boy was picking up. He was picking up starfish that had been washed up on the beach, and one at a time, he was throwing them back into the water. The man asked the boy what he was doing. The boy replied, "I'm throwing these washed up starfish back into the ocean, or else they'll die through lack of oxygen." "But," said the man, "you can't possibly save all of these starfish. This must be happening on hundreds of beaches along the coast. You can't possibly make a difference here." The boy smiled, bent down, picked up another starfish, and as he threw it back into the sea, he replied, "Made a difference to that one. Made a difference to that one." Of course, you've heard that inspirational story before, and normally the moral of the story is just that, making a difference. But I start with that story from an atypical slant on that story itself. What about the starfish in the story? We could all agree that the big winner, if you will, in this story are those lucky few starfish, that the blessed starfish, if you will, that got rescued from off the shore and tossed back into the sea. Sure, I know what you're thinking. Starfish is a simple marine invertebrate, a scavenger, opportunistic scavenger with no real brain. But let's consider, if you will, by using that story, our calling and blessings from the starfish's point of view today. So that's what I plan to do, and I realize I didn't start my stopwatch here. Not that that means anything. Today, so I plan to talk about blessings, seeking God's blessing, blessing God, and sharing God's blessings with others. So we use that story as a jumping off point. Let's talk about seeking God's blessings. Of course, brethren, we want in our lives God's blessings, don't we? Let's turn to Psalm 67. We'll start out there because that's a well-known verse in reference to asking for blessings from God. So we'll start in Psalm 67. "To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm." Psalm 67, 1. "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That your way be made known on earth." It's a pretty short psalm. "Your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations of the earth. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all of the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him." So that's a beautiful psalm in reference to seeking blessings from God. Now turn with me here, because I have three blessings in this next scripture that I want to talk to you about. Ephesians 1, verses 3. Turn to Ephesians 1, verse 3. We can start at verse 1 there, because as Paul typically does, a beautiful greeting to the saints. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That's you and me, brethren. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the three blessings of Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then it goes on, of course, to talk about how he chose Jesus, and then Jesus chose us. We're talking about the three blessings of Ephesians 1 through 3. If you look in the into the Greek here, Stephanie told me if I read the Greek, I had to say it like Gus from My Big Fat Greek Wedding in a Greek accent. I don't think I could pull it off, but I'll give it a try. No, I won't. Okay, the very first blessing of Ephesians 1 through 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of these words are similar. The Strong's 2128, 2127, 2129. So you see that they're all very close to one another. But the first blessed is eulogitos. Blessed. It's only used of God and the Father, or God the Father and Jesus Christ, showing that the Godhead is worthy of our commitment. Indeed, only God is inherently praiseworthy, deserving every good acknowledgement. So the verse, the first blessing of Ephesians 1:3 is blessed. It's referencing God as the only inherently praiseworthy being who deserves every good acknowledgement. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now the second blessing is Strong's 21:27, eulogio, meaning which means to confer something beneficial. It's used of both blessing God's people and God's people blessing him. Remember in the very first chapter of Luke, when it tells the story of Mary hearing from an angel that she was going to give birth to the Savior of all mankind, the Messiah, the angel said, "Blessed are you among women." That's the kind of word that's going here. So it's talking about a blessing that's conferred to us. And the last blessing, Strong's 21:29, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So 21:29 is eulogia. It's concretely a blessing, or universally just a blessing. And it in most cases refers to the blessings of our Christianity, of our calling, of the plans that God has for us through Christ, such as, you don't have to turn here, you can make this a notation, Romans 15:29, where Paul speaks of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Or in 1 Peter 3:9, let's turn there. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. 1 Peter 3, verse 9, we'll pick that up in verse 8. My Bible heads that discussion as called to be blessed. But verse 8, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. So it's telling us, here's how we're supposed to act. And even if you have evil done unto you or revilings done unto you, you return that with blessing, using that word that we just heard about, eulogia, a universal blessing. Knowing that you were called to this. This is what you were called to, that you may inherit a blessing. can ask for a raise, a show of hands about how many people want to inherit the blessing that it speaks of here. Of course, the blessing that it speaks of is the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Like we read about in Ephesians 1 through 3, the blessing of the salvation from the Messiah promised to Abraham, 1 Peter 3, 9, through the blessing universally of what Christ has done for us to allow us to be tapped on the shoulder by our loving Father and called to His amazing family. Now, something I'll point out in 1 Peter 3, 9 here in the Greek also. By the way, you notice all of those three words, eugelitos. The tos in as the suffix of that word gives the glory to God, basically. The eugelio and eugelia are all base for the word that we call a eulogy. You know, eulogy is when someone dies and you stand up and say nice things about them. So this is a form of that word in our modern language that you'll be familiar with. But let's talk about a little bit more in reference to seeking God's blessings, the blessings that we're speaking of here, referencing the blessing of the gospel of Christ, or as 1 Peter 3, 9 speaks of, the blessing that we inherit. In that verse, that you should inherit a blessing, the word inherit is kleronomeo. That's Strong's 28:16. If you want to take a look at that further, 28:16, kleronomeo. And it's properly to assign inheritance by lot. It's used in relation to believers claiming their earthly inheritance assigned by the Lord. So we even hear in some of the scripture that it says that God, our Father, maintains our lot. So this is something in reference to the blessing that our inheritance is allotted to us, is assigned to us. Just as it speaks of in 1 Peter 3, 9 here about inheriting a blessing. So that's the first point that we go through today. That is talking about blessing, seeking God's blessing, and then blessing God. Now, as I think about it, I think maybe I could have turned those two points around a little bit, but the point remains is that when we're seeking God's blessing, it's because we've been blessed by God. And what does it mean exactly to bless God? So we'll get into that. But first, let's turn to Psalm 103. If you want to speak of blessing God, turn to the Psalms and just read, because there's many, many examples in there of God's people blessing Him. Psalm 103. Maybe you've heard a song that sounds like this before. Psalm 103, verse 1, praise for the Lord's mercies. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget His benefits. And of course, you can read all down through there about the benefits of understanding and knowing who God is, healing our diseases, crowns us in loving kindness and tender mercy, satisfies us with good things. Read that entire psalm in your own time, brethren. He's not dealt with us, verse 10 says, according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. So that speaks of the God that we bless in Psalm 103. Look at the very end of that verse, of that chapter, starting in verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of the word, of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of life, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So blessing God, what does it mean to bless God? The whole premise of the sermon that I'm giving today started with me turning to the back of my my notebook, as I will often do, kind of thinking about, you know, if someone says something during a sermon or a Bible study or a sermonette that kind of makes me think, oh, that might be good to talk about for a sermon, I'll write it back there. And I bet you that someone was reading Psalm 103, and I wrote in the back of my notebook, what does it mean for us to bless God? You think to yourself, well, that doesn't seem quite right. God's the one that blesses us. But the question is, what does it mean to bless God? Here's the answer. We're familiar with God's blessings on us, but what does it mean for us to bless the Lord? The phrase bless the Lord and bless God are found primarily, as we've read here in Psalms in the Old Testament. The Psalms especially filled with all of the psalmist's blessings upon God. The King James Version uses bless the Lord many times, but some modern translations render it, because of the way that the word translates, as praise the Lord as well. The Hebrew word is simply Baalrak. Sounds like Baalrak. Baalrak, spelled differently. Translated bless or praise, in some cases, means literally to kneel. So as we are subservient to and kneel before God in our prayers, kneel before our God literally and both in our attitudes toward Him, it means to kneel, to worship. Therefore, to bless the Lord means, and when we read it in the Bible that way, to praise Him, to exalt Him, to worship God Almighty. The Psalms are filled with blessings upon God for His counsel. I'll refer to a couple of Psalms that you can read back through a little later. Psalm 16, verse 7, blessing God for His counsel. Psalm 16, 7, beginning in verse 5, says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Remember, same word we talked about up above, the clarinomeo. Not of course that it's Greek, but it's a similar word in the Hebrew. The lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly inheritance. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. So we bless God for His counsel. We bless God, as we just did reading Psalm 103, for His holiness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget His benefits. So it's important for us, as we bless God, that we understand why we're doing it and how He has, through that inheritance we spoke of and through the blessings of the inheritance through Jesus Christ that we have, is important. Psalm 34, let's take a look there. One of my recently favorite verses is in that psalm. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So remember, when we bow rock, we kneel before or praise God or give him the all of the glory. We exalt Him. We worship Him. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. All of those words for what? Eulogio, which Baalrak means when we say bless the Lord. Look at verse 8. It says, and here's another type of blessed. We're blessing God. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. So as we're praising and exalting and worshiping God, the what comes back to us, brethren, are the blessings of God, as we read and hear. It's so palpable, those blessings, that the psalm here doesn't just say that we're blessed. It says, taste and see the blessings of God. So we taste it, we see it, we can feel it. All of the senses are involved in that. Now, I ran into an article in a website called Hebrew for Christians, basically, that explains, that talks about blessing the Lord, and it It calls it a baraka, from that word barak, which means to the heel or the knee, basically. Baraka is the blessing that we give when we say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name." But there's a Jewish tradition it talks about here. And of course, if we're going to understand the Old Testament, we got to understand how the Jews did that. That there's a Jewish tradition that requires personally blessing the Lord for each detail of our daily experience. Oftentimes, I go through the entire day and don't thank God for the blessings that that are at my fingertips through every aspect of my life. Often I do, but sometimes we're busy, right? We have to, like this Jewish tradition required, we have to personally bless God for each detail of our daily experience. Such a requirement surely points to a deep inward appreciation for the good things God personally provides for us throughout the day. Just as Jesus said, our Heavenly Father knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. Think about Matthew 10 there. That's what we're referring to. Matthew 10 and verse 30. He says that, don't you know that there's not a single sparrow that falls that God doesn't know about it? Tiny, 2-ounce bird can't fall without our Father knowing about it. But, you're worth a lot more than sparrows. I'm paraphrasing Matthew 10 and not doing a very good job of it. But you're worth more than sparrows. God numbers the very hairs on top of your head. And if you confess Jesus Christ, he'll confess you before God. That's basically what that little run of scripture there in Matthew 10 talks about when it speaks of God numbering the hairs on our heads. If our eyes are open to his grace. So the point is that if he can number these up here, then we can look at the details of his recognition of our personal lives and every aspect and every detail of it and recognize the blessings that are all from above, that are from him. We too, it says, will notice his provision in even the smallest details of our lives. Now, he talks in this article a little more in the Hebrew about how the word is translated, blessed, baruch, barak, as we discussed, from the word berek, which means the knee. And here he quotes the Ephesian scripture that we've already read with the three blessings of God in it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the Messiah. Some people find basically the barak, the barakat is what they call that habit of blessing God in all of the details of our lives, because a human, like I had kind of pondered, can't really invoke blessings onto God. It's not the one who confers a greater blessing greater than the recipient is the more intellectual question that he asked there. Perhaps the confusion will dissipate once we understand that when we recite a baraka, and that's what they do when they thank God for all of the details of our daily experience, we're not blessing God, but we're expressing how blessed God is. So when we read, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," we're basically acknowledging in worship and praise and adulation to our Creator that you are blessed, God, and how blessed you are, our Lord. Blessed you are, Lord our God. He quotes from Scripture there. So expressing how blessed God is the is the gist there. I'm missing a page. And then he tells a story about expressing gratitude. So remember, we're seeking God's blessings. We're blessing God for his involvement in our daily lives, for the details in detail about the blessings that he gives us. So here's a story about expressing gratitude. The bottom line, he says, basically, is reciting blessing is a mean of expressing your gratitude for the gift of life that God's freely given us. Freely you've received, freely give is what Jesus told his disciples. In that regard, a human life lived with grateful attitude is itself a form of blessing, as this old Hasidic story will tell. So the story goes like this. A student once asked the rabbi, "How is it possible to bless God for bad news with equal fervor as good news?" And the rabbi said to him, I want you to go to the study hall and ask your question to my brother, the saintly Reb Zusia." Okay, when the student went and saw Rabbi Zusia, he could easily discern the suffering that this man must have experienced through his life, a pain of illness, poverty, all etched indescribably, it says, on his face. When the student asked Zusia, "How is it possible to bless God for bad news with equal fervor as good news?" And I'll try the accent here. Reb Zusia replies, "But why are you asking me? How would I know the answer? Nothing bad has ever happened to me." So it's all, as the story goes, a matter of attitude. So I'm sure the point of the story is not lost on us. Everything depends on our attitude, and we bless God no matter what the situation. His will is perfect. If you want to live joy in this life, you have to learn to focus on the good. There's a Jewish saying that goes, "Who is a rich person? One who is happy with his lot." There's a third time we've heard that word, lot. Engaging the mind with awareness that God is the source of all that is good is a means of then increasing your joy in this life, understanding your blessings better, blessing God for the things that we have. And that's what this Hebrew blessing, the berakot, or "bless the Lord, O my soul, bless his holy name," is all about. I find that obviously, as far as the sermon goes, this will probably be the hardest part of what we do as Christians, blessing God in the storm. You ever heard that that saying that says, before you dance in the rain, you have to praise God in the storm? It's easy to get discouraged and down and not to praise God in the storm. As a matter of fact, maybe the storm is the blessing. Have you ever thought about it that way? You ever been in a situation where you think it's a trial? And it is, certainly. But, you know, when it's all blown over, when the storm is blown over, you find that it was a blessing in disguise. There's a song, a modern song from Laura Story called "Blessings." And the words go something like this. What if your blessings come through raindrops? Speaking of dancing in the rain. What if your healing comes through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're here? What if my greatest disappointments or the achings of this life are the revealing of a greater thirst my soul can't recognize? And then the refrain is, what if trials of this life are your blessings in disguise? It's an awesome song. Maybe you've heard it before. But the point comes down to, we praise God, we bless God's holy name because he is worthy of praise and worthy of those blessings. Here's what I've been doing lately. Anytime I feel like, wow, you know, I wish that something were different, you know, whatever the case may be, you think about what it is that you sometimes think about. I wish that I had a nicer car. I wish that I had a bigger kitchen. I wish that my garage was filled with all of the tools that I'd love to have to do the things that I like to do. I wish that my yard was bigger. I wish my dog was smarter. I wish whatever the case it is that we wish, right? I think of the mud hut. That's what I've been doing lately. I think of the mud hut. Do you remember right here on this screen when Joel Meeker came around and he showed us, you know, a tour of French-speaking Africa where he went to visit, and there was that one man, our brother in Christ, who stood in front of his mud hut, which was extra fancy because it had a tin roof. And when you went inside, the dirt floors were swept very cleanly, and he had two or three sticks of furniture, and the kitchen was a fire in the corner of this hut. You guys remember the mud hut? So when I think about my blessings in disguise, I think about all of the blessings that I sometimes take advantage of. And I think about the mud hut. I wish I could remember that gentleman's name. But he certainly had a way of expressing his gratitude. Bless God for his dominion over all things, is what we read in Psalm 103. Bless God for his honor, his majesty. That's in Psalm 104. We don't have to turn there, but I'll read a few verses from Psalm 104, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. You're clothed with honor and majesty, who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who lays the beams of his chambers in the water, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks upon the winds of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. That is the God that we bless, that we praise, that we adulate, that we worship. We serve and obey and bless an awesome God. We are the family of God, and we recognize that through blessing him. We offer our praise and blessing because he deserves them. God deserves our blessings, our praise, our adulation, our worship. Unlike God's blessings on us, which are wholly undeserved and given to us by his mercy and grace, but our blessing God is done out of an understanding that he and he alone is truly praiseworthy, the Creator and our Heavenly Father. So God is glorified when we bless and praise and acknowledge him. That acknowledgement comes in the form of the things we've talked about: praise, adoration, thanksgiving, love, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and praise all belong to his name. That's what we were originally created for. You know, another song that says, and it's supported by Scripture, that you and I are made to worship. You and I are made to love. You and I are, the song goes on. But the point is that God made us to worship him. Of course, the serpent, Satan, has perverted that worship to the point where, you know, even in the days of Israel, God had to say, hey, these other guys don't do what they do. They cut down a tree, they shape it, they form it, they fasten it with nails so it won't fall over, and they bow down and worship that instead. Of course, we don't do that, but the point is that God made us to worship. However, no man can bless God in the right way unless he's right with God. Proverbs 28:9, you can read that later, just one verse. It says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. We have to be right with God to receive truly his blessings. It's only once we have been truly blessed by God who is in the heavenly realms. Remember Ephesians 1, verse 3, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that we can bless God in return. So we've talked about seeking the blessings of God, blessing God in return in a manner that pleases him. So we see that recognizing or blessing God for the blessings that he gives us is a derivative of our attitude, as we end that second point. And now let's talk about the natural derivative of both of those, and that is sharing God's blessings. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road, as they say, the bottom line. Sharing the blessings is a natural derivative. I won't ask the question that you have to answer. It's rhetorical, but how many of you are moved to give money to panhandlers that you see out in under the underpasses and whatnot? You know, I rarely am. As a matter of fact, if you know me, like my family knows me, if I see that I'm going to stop by someone who's panhandling, I'll get all the way in the right lane and take a right and U-turn and come back around so that I can go under the place that I was going to turn. It makes me very very uncomfortable. Now, that doesn't mean to say that if it looks like someone is very, very needy, that I wouldn't be moved with compassion for them. But even quicker story, in the line of my business, insurance claims and whatnot, one time I met a family. There were six of them in the household, and it was actually a pretty nice household. They had maybe four or five cars on the policy that were newer than the cars I was driving at the time. And when I went to meet with them for purposes of an insurance claim, I noticed a stack of signs by the front door. And basically their living was made by grabbing up one of these signs when they left the house in the morning and got in their car, driving to a corner somewhere to panhandle with the sign that said, "Anything helps," or "Why lie? I need a beer," or whatever the case was, you know, the signs that they stand there and show. But, you know, all that said, that's the reason that I'm skeptical about panhandlers. Not that, there's a lot of that goes on. But I was moved by one of them because the, I don't know what it was, 3 or 4 months ago, I was at a corner and I saw, sometimes you see them and you think, you know, you look as fit as I do. You could be working. You could have a job, right? I think that's skepticism more than anything. But this person looked particularly like they were truly homeless, in my opinion. You know, they weren't clean. They weren't shaven. They weren't. It was a lady, but they weren't. You know, so hopefully she didn't have to be shaven. But she wasn't clean. Her clothes were dirty. She was bedraggled. It looked like she had been sleeping under a bridge. And do you know what her sign said? And that's getting to sharing the blessings. Her sign said, "Can you spare a blessing? Can you spare a blessing?" When we talk about the blessings that we received and the way that we should be blessing God in humble adoration and worship for who He is and what He's done in our lives, then I think the answer to that question is, without exception, absolutely, I can share a blessing. You know, I rarely give money to someone on the edge of the road, but all I had was a $20 bill and I gave it to her, and happily, because absolutely I can share a blessing. If I think about it, everything from the moment I wake up in the morning, well, let's obviously from when I wake up to when I go to sleep, but even when I'm sleeping, that's a blessing. God gives to His beloved sleep is one of the psalms that we sing, right? Everything, no matter whether I'm satisfied with it or wish that it was better or, you know, could do better, everything that surrounds me like a cloud is a blessing. This room where we meet in safety and health is a blessing. This state, this paved road, just think about it. Everything that you do in this country that's so richly blessed by God is a blessing, and we can share them. So I want to share with you as we kind of wrap up four blessings, or the four laws of God's blessings. They should go pretty quick. They're actually from Rick Warren, a writer, a Christian writer who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. He quotes here Genesis 12:2, "I will bless you and you will be a blessing." Of course, that's what He told Abraham back when He told him that his descendants would be as the sands of the sea because of his obedience and because of the fact that he was a friend with God. But you will be a blessing is kind of the gist of these four laws of God's blessing. So the first law is, our blessings should flow to others. So basically, we bless God because of who He is. He blesses us, and the right example and the right way, just like Jesus Christ set an example for us, is for the blessings to flow out again, for us to be a light, for us to as we read in the scripture, you know, blind, hungry, and without shelter, you know, to help those. Blessings should flow toward others. So the Bible teaches us that we are blessed not just so that we can feel good, not just so that we can be happy and comfortable, but so that we will bless others. Just like it said, God told Abraham, you will be a blessing. This is the first law of blessings. It must flow outwardly. We have to use our talents, whatever they may be, to bless others. How do we bless others? How do you bless others? That's the question that we should be asking ourselves in reference to this first law of God's blessings. Our blessings should flow to others by serving a need. Is it physical? Is it emotional? Is it financial? Is it practical? Whatever way it is, brethren, you have been given a certain set of talents. The way that I serve can't be the way that you serve because you're not me and I'm not you. You understand what I'm saying? If you can't physically serve, whatever it may be, stacking chairs or something physical, then certainly you can encourage. Certainly you can pray. There's all kinds of things that someone who is motivated for God's blessings to flow through and out of them that they can serve. Lend a helping hand. Philippians 1 verse 4, Paul talked about that. He said, I thank God, starting in verse 3, Philippians 1, verse 3 and 4, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. And here's how one of the ways that Paul passed the blessings along. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. He prayed for all of them. It's the Message Bible says, forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. The second law of God's blessings is that when we bless others, God takes care of our needs. Isn't that the truth? Think about it in your life. God promises if we will concentrate on blessing others, He'll take care of our needs. There's almost nothing that God won't do for the person who really wants to help other people. In fact, God guarantees this blessing. You read about it in Luke 18. The message Bible says, I guarantee this, anyone who gives up anything for the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times more in his life and will receive eternal life in the next world to come. That's Luke 18, verse 29. Luke 18, verse 29. You'll recognize it in verse 30 in this version. And he said unto them, Luke 18, verse 29, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. When you care about helping other people, God assumes the responsibilities for your problems. I can't think of anyone else that I would like to be in control of my problems than our loving Father in heaven. I think you would agree with that. That's a real blessing because He's so much better at handling any of the difficulties that we might have than we are. The third law of God's blessings is that our blessings to others will come back to us. The more you bless other people, the more you help others, the more God blesses your life. I think that every one of you have lived that. You recognize that God's face, you recognize the light of God's face shining on you when you're doing what He says. Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 38, Luke 6, verse 38, give away your life, you'll find life given back, but not merely given back with bonus and blessing. That's again the message Bible, if we read it in the New Testament. Luke 6. And verse 38. I have give written across this scripture in my Bible. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. And we're talking again about the talents that you have. The way that you bless others will come back to you. God says, I'm going to pour out blessings on you. I'm going to pour out blessings on you. And that's not a game that you, well, I mean, maybe it's a little a game. Let's see who wins. Let's see who can give the most. The more you bless, the more I'm going to bless you in return, is what God says there in Luke 6 and verse 38. And this leads us to the fourth law of God's blessings. The more we're blessed by God, this is the fourth law of God's blessing. The more we're blessed by God, the more he expects us to help others. Jesus said it in Luke 12 and verse 48, same chapter, a few books over, Luke 12 and verse 48. Much is required from the person to whom much is given. Much more is required from the person of whom much more is given, is the way the Good News translations put that. We are blessed to be a blessing, a lot like we read in Genesis 12 when God told Abraham, "In blessing I will bless you." Luke 12, verse 48 says, picking it up halfway in the verse, "For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." So let's think about it. Based on the blessings of your lives, and I think about it from my perspective, based on the blessings of my life, what does God expect from you? What does God expect from me? What are the needs around you for which you can use your gifts as a blessing? Because remember, we seek God's blessings, we bless God, and we share those blessings with others. We talked about the four laws of God's blessings from the purpose-driven life. And, you know, really, we've heard it a long time because Mr. Armstrong used to talk about, remember, the two trees and the way of give and the way of get. There's no middle ground in there. It's either one or the other, give or get. We read about that in Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 11, Leviticus 26. They're all parallels in reference to when God says, "I set before you a choice, life or death, blessing or cursing. You pick it, brethren. I pick it." So the point is, does it really just boil down to that? Now we come to a close and a full circle in regards to the story that I started the sermon with. So we've talked about a lot of things today in reference to the blessings of God, the four laws of giving, and we come back to that starfish story. When I told the story of the starfish, we touched on the fact that the moral of the story was normally making a difference, but I used the story from an atypical stance. What about the starfish, right? We could all agree that the big winners in this story are the lucky few starfish, the blessed ones that were rescued from the shore and thrown back into the sea where they could thrive and actually not perish. Let's look at our lives and our blessings from this starfish's point of view. You could say that the starfish, if you will, won the lottery that day. But like us, the starfish were plucked out of the rest of the crowd, were richly blessed. Like us, you say? Like we're like a marine invertebrate, an opportunistic feeder with no brain or barely little brain? Well, bear with me. Like us, yes, because we were once on the beach too, brethren, were we not? Granted, the beach that we live on are the sands of the sea that God talked about blessing Abraham with. So we are blessed in the fact that we live in a place where God promised a man thousands of years ago that he would make because of his obedience, right? But we were plucked off of that beach with the sand because of clerinomeo. We were assigned an inheritance by lot casting. Do you remember 1 Peter 3:9? "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, render blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Eulogia, our calling. Every time that I think about that and reckon in Psalm 16:7, remember it said that the Eternal maintains our lot. We're the lucky ones. We're like the starfish. We have this calling that's to be cherished, that's to be amazing. Every time I think about it, I remember 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. Do you know what 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26 says? When you think about your calling, we sing a song about it. It says, not many wise men now are called. So keep that all in perspective when we recognize our blessing. Our blessing is the cosmic lottery, brethren. Seriously, I don't know if that's appropriate, but I look at it and say, you know, of all people, why me? Why you? When we recognize that God has a little church, a small family, a small group of first fruits that he works with as the spring harvest in anticipation for the fall harvest, which is much bigger. He's got a plan. It's all in mind, but it says, if you have, because you have this calling, where it, there in 1 Corinthians, glory, let him who glories glory in the Lord. So he called the weak and the base, not many wise men. That's something to remember as we talk about the amazing fact of this calling. But remember Genesis 12:2, when he talked to Abraham? We live that blessing even today. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Long ago, God blessed a man called Abraham and promised to make his descendants as the sands of the sea. Later, along that blessed beach, amongst all the other blessed sand, God saw fit to pluck us up with this calling we just talked about. He picked us out of the midst of so many other grains of sand, or starfish, brethren. We are the starfish in the story. Because of this, we can better understand Ephesians 1 and verse 3, where it says those three blessings. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And because of that, we can bless God all the more because we do understand. Count your blessings, brethren. Brothers and sisters, family of God, family of the living and true God, seek God's blessings, bless God, and then share those blessings with others.